Welcome to The Beach is Just the Beginning, the official podcast of the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. Join travel author Peter Moore as he discovers the people and places that make Antigua and Barbuda the must-visit destination of the Caribbean. The beach is just the beginning.
I'm Peter Moore. Welcome to the Barbuda episode. I was actually in Barbuda a couple of weeks ago, and I can't tell you just how much I love the place. It's only 61 kilometres north of Antigua, but it felt like I'd stepped into another world. The beaches are extraordinary. Most of them are long and white. Some have this magical shade of pink. But the thing that really strikes you is just how empty they are. Princess Diana was a regular visitor to Barbuda. She loved the fact that she could really escape the world. Today, her favourite spot, her favourite stretch of sand, bears her name, Princess Diana Beach. Robert De Niro famously sailed by and insisted on going ashore too. The story is that he was so taken by the place that he returned to open a restaurant, a Nobu no less. Today, people sail from all over the Caribbean just to eat there. There's more to Barbuda than its beaches though. The limestone cliffs on its rugged Atlantic coast are incredible. They're full of these amazing caves that you're just going to want to explore. Indian Cave is tagged with prehistoric paintings by the Arawaks, and another of the caves was home to an escaped slave who wore his sandals backwards to confuse trackers trying to capture him. And today, the whole area is a popular weekend picnic spot for locals who come to hike and lime. I really love the small settlement of Codrington too. It's really laid back. Locals sit under a tree they call the Lazy Tree to catch up on all the local gossip and discuss world events. Fantastic. Visiting Barbuda isn't so much stepping back in time, but into an alternate version, where everything's just a little bit slower, a little less connected to the outside world, and a lot more relaxed. The island is also home to one of nature's greatest spectacles, the Frigate Bird Sanctuary on Codrington Lagoon. Here, over 100,000 birds congregate to mate, hatch, and rear chicks in an absolute cacophony of colour and sound unlike anything else in the world. In fact, we start the episode with a trip out to the sanctuary with local boatman Pat Richardson at the height of the colony's mating season.
Good morning. Let me officially welcome you to Barbuda once again. Welcome to Barbuda, but most of all, welcome to the Barbuda Frigate Bird Sanctuary. Majority of the birds we will see are frigate birds. Let me give you the description before we go in, so I won't have to be giving it to you over and over. The all blacks with that red throat sack inflated, yes or no, are the males. Black head, white chest, the rest of the body black with a bit of grayish brown on the wings, female. And anything you see with white head, just regard it as a juvenile. And as we get closer and you look very carefully, you will see newborns from this year's mating season. There's a lot more birds right now when it's the mating season compared to when it's not the mating season.
So will we see the males with the big red necks?
Sir, those big red things you're seeing in the trees are not mangoes. Okay. The trees might be called mangrove, but those big red things you see in the tree are not mangrove. That's the bird.
Would you say now is the best time of the year to come and see them with the males?
Well, this is one of the good times. Maybe about a month ago was more better.
What would you say to someone is the ideal time to come?
Well, I always say December, January, February. After going into March, April, it starts to decline. Okay. Because from this month, some of those males who weren't successful in getting companionship would start to pack their bags and migrate. And then, as the few months go on, you're going getting closer to April, other males who has had responsibility, their babies are now to the size, to the age where they can leave. Because the males usually leave the female with the baby at a certain time, and he migrates. He move on and go to another colony and do the same thing as what he's doing here. Now tell me, a Caribbean man, all over the world do that. So now, folks, it's the mating season. That's why you're seeing all these males, some of them with long, soggy pouches, some of them with big red full pouches, and some of them just partially inflated. Now, if you look carefully, you see some of the young babies, those little white fuzzy things you've seen in the tree, are young babies. See one right here in front of you, no? Look right there, the female. You see, she push up her head to make you see.
Oh, wow.
I take my picture. Which side you want me to turn?
Hi.
You want me face on?
Ball with face. Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. So, hello, I forget some pictures, and then when I go for sitting, I'll sit down and really talk.
They're amazing, aren't they? Look at that one's neck puffed right out.
This little part of it is called Baby World.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see the amount of young babies you see inside here? Babies are scattered all over, but that's the one area with the most intense. Get your cameras working. Because what you will get today, you will never get again.
I'm telling you.
Those males look really great over there. It's their beak on their neck.
Yeah, when the cluck of the beaks like that, that gives the sound.
Is he trying to warn us off, or is he trying to encourage a female?
No, he's just showing off. He's showing off. That's what all the males are doing. They're showing off their pouch and hoping someone of the sexy females find them attractive.
So what are the females attracted to? A brighter pouch, a bigger pouch? What gets them excited?
What really gets them excited? Just seeing a nice pouch.
So some of the males, their pouches are redder than the others. What causes that?
The reason for that, where they're younger males. Just like if you find somebody who is in their 18s and 19s and their 10s and 11s, compare them with me and you right now. Their hair would be nice and jet black. And ours will have in all those little gray hairs. But in the birds now, the reason why they have that difference, a frigate bird can live for between 45 to 50 years. Some of these males been doing that for 10, 15 years. So every year the sun hit it, so it bleaches a bit. But for the new males, the young guys who are just coming on the scene now, their pouch will be rich with that red color because they're just coming out. So they're like, you have a new brand car that just come out the showcase to a car that's been out there for 10 years in the sun, being bleached. The colors cannot look as bright as each other.
This guy's very popular. He's got a couple of females lining up to see him.
If you look on the one at the top that is tapping, to the one at the top, you notice he has one female checking out everything about him.
Yeah, and then there's another one waiting. See the other female waiting for her turn.
He only is stressed about the one.
Okay.
Yeah? You see how he has his wing going to be spreading and putting around her?
Yeah.
So if now you'll be palming her and telling her, look, you belong to me now. When it comes around the middle of August, coming down to the ending, males usually start to return to Barbuda for one purpose and one purpose only, the mating season. By September, they start picking places in the trees where they sit, and they inflate that big red pouch that sends the signal out to the female, hey girls, the boys are back in town. So the females now, they get real excited because they would have already raised their babies and just waiting for males now to return so they can have a bit of fun in their life again. When the male comes, he doesn't come back to Jane, Jill or Janet. He just returns and he picks a place where he sits in the tree and he inflates the pouch. Now all the females now get real excited because as they hover overhead, they see these big red pouches scattered amongst the mangrove. And they start hovering around, checking them out. Just as they're hovering around, checking them out, the males themselves now, they're looking up and seeing the females. So what some of the males will do, they stick their wings in the air and they tremble their wings. And the cluck of their beaks giving off that jump-like sound. And our interpretation to that is telling us, hey, come on, babes, come on, pick me, don't study the other bums around. But the female will fly around and look around until she see that male that she likes. Now, don't ask me if it's the biggest pouch, the longest pouch, the reddest pouch, or the fattest pouch. I don't know. But when she see that male with that pouch that she likes, she will land on the tree next to him. While she's there up close and personal, and she really liked that male, to let him know, she will start to rub up herself on the pouch, which is sends the signal to him, hey, she's choosing me as her companion. Now, actual names we call the frigate birds, and place you can go and find them. Locally here in Barbuda, we call the frigate bird Manowar. Now, a frigate is actually a warship, so we locally now call our frigate birds Man of War. That's our pet name. In our sister island, Antigua, before I ever came to Barbuda, I just hear my grandparents saying, oh, look, the weather birds. Oh, Lord, some kind of weather coming. You see how them high? So I just always wonder, but I never knew it was the frigate bird until when I came to Barbuda. You hear? Those are some of the names we actually call the frigate bird.
So you were saying that when they fly in, they look for a spot, the males. What makes a good spot to attract females?
Sir, that's one of the questions that none of these guys answer me and tell me if it is yet. They know what they're looking for.
Because it just doesn't seem to make sense to be in a big group like this to me. I'd be off on my own somewhere, trying to be the enigmatic single man.
Let's put it this way. You one all by yourself, and then you have six other birds over here. A female flying up top there. These six birds have their pouch inflated. You one have your pouch. Who will be spotted more easier?
I can't tell you how mind-blowing the frigate bird sanctuary is. I really didn't expect to see that many birds in the one spot, or to be able to get so close. I mean, it really is extraordinary, seeing the males with their inflated red pouches and listening to them play them like a drum with their beaks. I mean, it's an experience that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And Pat was such a great guide too. When you get to Barbuda, make sure he's the guy that takes you out to see the frigate birds. Now, as you can imagine, you work up a bit of an appetite visiting the frigate birds. So after Pat dropped me off at the wharf in Codrington, I made my way to the Wa Amoni Bestaurant, a bit of an institution on the island, to chat with the owner, Jackie Beezer, and sample one of her legendary conch burgers. I'm talking to Jackie from Wa Amoni.
Wa Amoni.
Restaurant in Barbuda, beautiful Barbuda. The Bestaurant.
That's right. The name, Wa Amoni Bestaurant.
Okay. There's your advertising right there in the name.
Yes.
You can't miss it. If you get off the plane, just look for the bright yellow building with the red trim. It seems to be a bit of an institution. I mean, while I was just waiting for my lunch, there was a lot of local characters coming in and ordering stuff. So it's the place to be.
Yes, it is.
So your menu features a lot of local stuff. What would you say would be the most Barbudan things on your menu?
The deer, lobster, or basically seafood. Deer, lobster and conch, I make those into burgers. Yeah. The lobster, you get a half a tail, and then the deer is done into a patty with no fillers.
Now, I hear there's a bit of a skill in preparing conch.
A lot of Barbudans don't eat it raw. Most of us, we pressure it first. We pound it first, so to tenderize it, and then we pressure it to get it really tender. That's how we do it.
Is your menu the same every day?
Burgers are the same every day. Burgers, subs, and wraps are the same. But I have one special lunch every day.
Again, while I was standing down there, a guy came in and just said, what's on today?
Yeah, because every day I have a lunch special.
What would that be? What could that be?
On a Monday, you could get seafood rice. On a Tuesday, I do oxtail. On a Thursday, but you always can get fish or chicken in between. You get ribs, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. What would you say is your most popular dishes?
The favorite, oxtail. Then the seafood rice, but everybody always have fish, so the fish is constant on the menu.
Yeah. Whereas oxtail is a special treat.
It's on a Tuesday. Yeah.
Oxtail is Tuesdays, okay.
I prefer it that way than to have all these things on the menu. So you know today you're coming, you're getting Monday, you're coming on a Monday, seafood rice. But if you still want a piece of chicken, I might bake some.
Yeah. And I know you're preparing it all down there, because again, I could see out the back through the kitchen, the chicken wings getting rolled through the spices.
And that's for the hot wings for today. I only do hot wings on a Saturday.
Have you got your own recipe for the sauce?
Everything I do have my own little trick to the trade. If you don't, what sense would it make, right?
They could go anywhere.
I know.
Yeah. I did ask for some hot sauce and then you sort of presented me with this jar.
That's local. That's a homemade hot sauce.
It looked kind of potent. If someone was coming to Barbuda, what would you...
Hello, good morning. Wa Amoni, how may I help you?
Hey, Jackie again. Can I modify my order, please?
Jackie?
Yeah.
What would you like?
I want three portions of hot wings and wedges.
Uh-huh.
And a beef burger with the salad.
Okay, three portions of hot wings with wedges and a beef burger.
Yeah. I'm leaving home in 10 minutes.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Put on some wedges for me, please, and a beef burger. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. That's good. That's a bit of local atmosphere. No, I was just going to say, what are the things that people should see while they're on Barbuda or experience? What should they do to get a real sense of Barbuda?
The beaches are good, but I would want a person to experience the caves. I'd like a person to experience at least the people, to mingle, not to just come and stay at a resort, mingle with the people, and then the food.
That's interesting about mingling, because I agree with you. I think that's something everybody should do. How could they do that on Barbuda if someone sort of arrived and they wanted to mingle with people? Where are the kind of places they could go? What could they do?
Walk around the village, because it's not like a large village. Walk around the village on the main. Usually, if you're a bar person, there are many bars to go to. And then there are local folks all over the place that cooks on a Saturday or during the week. You'll find them in the village by the supermarket. Because we're not like a big, big island where you can't find folks. So basically anywhere you can stand. There's a tree over here. We call it the lazy tree. And people are always underneath it. So
always up for a chat.
Always up for a chat. So there's no way in Barbuda you can't mingle with somebody who's, you know, have a conversation.
Yeah. If someone wanted to eat a very typical Barbudan meal, what would it be?
A typical Barbudan meal. I would give them fungi and I would give them some land turtle, a typical Barbudan, or stewed deer with all local peas. We have a bean, a white bean that we cook in the peas. That would be a very, very local. Or some stewed fish or fried fish. That would be extremely local.
Okay. Someone told me that Barbudans eat lobster like other people eat chicken.
We don't even consider lobster a delicacy. We eat lobster for breakfast.
How do you prepare it for breakfast?
For lobster for breakfast, we just basically saute the onions and stuff like that. And then you cut the lobster up in small pieces and saute it in. And we may put a tomato sauce or some curry and that's it. And you have that with bread.
So they're right. People do eat it like chicken here.
A person might come and say, oh, let's have lobster. To me, I would never go out and order lobster. I might go out and order steak, but I wouldn't eat lobster. Cool. I got to run out here somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll take that off you. But I really appreciate you giving us the time.
Okay, no problem.
And don't forget, what was it? Three hot wings and a beef burger for Kate. Was it Kate?
No,
for Jackie.
Jackie.
Thank you. She was so nice, she wrote it for me.
I was just going to say, lucky you didn't employ me. I'd be giving it to the wrong person and giving the wrong order.
You'll be pleased to hear that Jackie, the customer, got her order, the correct one. I suspect if I moved to Barbuda, I'd have to look somewhere other than the Waitamoni for a job. Now, one of the reasons behind Barbuda's unique character is its communal land laws. They date back to when the slaves were freed on the island and have shaped Barbuda's outlook on all aspects of life. Asha Frank has written a book about it called Dreamland Barbuda. She also runs an eco-friendly glamping site up near Two Foot Bay, so I thought I'd have a chat to her about her ideas about the island's future. Asha Frank is a young Barbudan with a lot going on. She's an author, a politician and a historian as well. She presents a podcast on Barbudan culture and runs a guest house and glamping site on the island's wild Atlantic coast. Asha is definitely doing her bit to shape Barbuda's future and she joins me today to tell me all about it. Hi Asha, how are you?
Hi Peter, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, we met a couple of weeks ago when I was in Barbuda briefly. I was struck by just how unique the island was. Why do you think Barbuda is different? What makes it so special?
I mean, there's quite a few things, but probably the biggest thing is the fact that we have communal land ownership, which means that no land is sold on Barbuda.
How do you think that has influenced Barbuda, as in like its culture, its outlook, and just the way things are done in Barbuda?
I think it's had a huge influence because our culture is very strong. We are a close-knit community. Our population hasn't really risen more than 1,500 people over the last 300 years. Communal land ownership has kind of had a huge influence on that.
The island's history has molded that, hasn't it? It goes way back to when the Codringtons freed the slaves.
How true that actually is, I'm not sure, but it has remained a part of what we say as a people. In 1901, the 1901 ordinance was passed due to petitions by Barbudan slaves saying that the land was theirs. And so law was passed that meant any major decision that was going to happen on Barbuda by the Antiguan government with concerns to the land would have to go through the people first. So our first ever hotel, the Cocoa Point Lodge, which employed many Barbudans, had to have a village meeting actually with the people first before the development was allowed to happen.
And of course, there were no sugar plantations on Barbuda as well. There's always been the history of just grazing animals. And if you go to Barbuda today, you will see horses, donkeys, goats just wandering around. I mean, that seems to be part of the whole culture of Barbuda as well.
Exactly. We are very much dependent on our livestock, on what we can grow. We are an island that is quite isolated, although Antigua is very close by. You know, travel isn't that regular. So we have developed this independence using things that we have here. So for example, deer meat. We love venison. We have venison burgers. Anything you can do with venison, we do with venison. Venison stew. That's unique to Barbuda because that was brought by the British during colonialism. And that's another thing about us that's quite different.
And sustainability has always been a big thing on Barbuda. I think with fishing to this day, people still use old-fashioned ways so the waters aren't overfished.
Fish pot, for example, is one of the ways that we harvest fish. Just line fishing is one of the ways as well that fishermen catch fish. We kind of have to use what we have on the island. And so fishing is very important to us.
Sustainability is a philosophy that you've tried to embrace with Frangipani, which is your new glamping project on the Atlantic side of the island, isn't it?
Yes. Frangipani glamping and guest house. We are eco-friendly. We do not have any electricity on the plot. And so we have to be very creative. We have an outdoor shower that is gravity fed. We harvest rainwater. But it is glamping, so it does have the luxurious elements. So you have a queen size bed, you're right next to the sea, so it's a nice little spot.
I had a look around on your website and it just looks idyllic. It seems to me that you can be as active or non-active as you want because you can do things like snorkel the reef. It looks like you have grills on the beach and all sorts of things. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, we provide a fish pot. So if anybody wants to try, and a lobster lasso, which I didn't mention earlier, which okay. is imagine lassoing a cow, but you're lassoing a lobster. It's a wire. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like a wire thing that you have that you put in the sea and try and catch the lobsters. So
and underwater as well.
A lot of our guests have tried.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. And then, of course, they can just bring their catch out and you guys will show them how to cook it up on the grill.
Absolutely, yes. They can do it themselves if they are handy at doing up a fire. They can do it themselves. But if not, we are available to come and do a lovely grill night.
It's quite tricky to get around Barbuda, isn't it? What's the best way of getting around, do you think, if you're there for a couple of days?
Rentals is one of the most popular ways of getting around in Barbuda. Bikes is a good way if you're just in the village. It's quite hot to travel on a bike at any other time in the day. But if you're really super fit, then you can actually go biking around the island. Those are probably the two main ways.
The island is still getting back on its feet after Irma. So the roads aren't in a great condition at the moment, but I guess they'll get better. Now, you were actually caught on the island during Irma, weren't you? That must have been quite terrifying.
Yeah, it was horrific. I mean, the last thing I remember hearing before we actually went into the storm was that it was showing up on the Richter scale, which is to measure earthquakes. And so that was kind of like, wow, okay, well, God help us when we go into this. And I mean, we were fine. Unfortunately, there was one death on the island, a young boy. It was a horrible hurricane. It was Category 5++. It was intense.
What are your hopes for Barbuda as it gets back on its feet?
My hope for Barbuda is that we can progress sustainably, maintain our culture, and be a island that's leading the way with our climate resilience and, you know, an alternative form of tourism that appreciates the environment and appreciates being in someone else's country. And I hope that is something that we can lead for the future.
You were telling me before that you've got a podcast about Barbudan culture, about food, of course, which is a very big thing in Barbuda, but also that you interview some of the island elders and get their stories and stuff. I guess it's a bit like sitting under what I got told is called the lazy tree in Barbuda where people sit around and chat. So is your podcast a kind of a version of that?
Exactly, it is, because we like to talk. We even have a name for it called liming, where you're not really doing anything. You're just aimlessly hanging out. You're not going anywhere. And there's spots that you can do this on Barbuda. So the lazy tree is one of them. Big stones, like there's usually a big stone somewhere in the village. And that's a place that young people, elderly, middle-aged people just congregate around and start having debates about absolutely anything. So it could be like something that would be the topic now is probably the war between Russia and the Ukraine. So it can be about absolutely anything, or it could be like who won the donkey race last night, yesterday. So the topics vary. The podcast is looking at elders in the community and trying to capture our history through their voices. Yeah, it's trying to capture the voices of these people that are so important in our community.
So for someone who's coming to Barbuda, they're going to spend a couple of days. How would you suggest that they kind of experience, for want of a better word, a sort of authentic Barbudan experience?
An authentic experience is definitely hanging out in the village. Absolutely. Because you'll meet someone, you're bound to make a friend, and then they'll probably suggest, oh, well, I'm just going here, like to this bar or here down to the beach. And next thing you know, you'll end up knowing the whole community. Because if you know one person, you're going to know the whole community. Adding on to that, majority of the things are natural things. So going to the bird sanctuary, going to our beaches, which are the best in the Caribbean, going to the caves and hiking up to the roof of the cave and just overlooking the Atlantic Sea. The list is endless. And so many people think that you can do Barbuda in one day, but you can't. You need a week. Or two, if you really want to get to know the community, you will have a lot of fun. I'm guaranteeing this to you.
Yeah, and I tell you as well, as soon as you get there, you just feel yourself slow down. You just can't help. You sort of step off the boat or step off the plane, and automatically you just go down a notch or two and the pace of life. And I think that's just wonderful.
Yep. You start to walk slower. Yeah. And that's a thing. That's a cultural thing. Walking slow. We don't walk fast in Barbuda.
Finally, we were talking about Barbudan food. What's one typical Barbudan dish you think every visitor should try when they come to Barbuda?
Oh, my God. That's a really hard question.
Or multiple. I mean, if they're going to be there for a week, they can try quite a few.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to suggest seafood, and I'm going to suggest stuffed shellfish because it's just so delicious. It's, I don't know if you've ever, if you had shellfish when you were here, but it's an odd looking fish because it has an actual shell on the outside as opposed to like most fish that just has the scales. And I mean, I guess they are scales, but it's a really thick shell. It kind of looks like a fish like that would have come from like the times when the dinosaurs were around. But inside that shell is a nice white meat. And then they actually stuff it with different things. So they can stuff it with like breadcrumbs, or they stuff it with sweet potato. And it is so delicious. Absolutely recommend having shellfish. Something that's traditional that I also recommend is yabba dumplings, which are unique to Barbuda. They don't really do them anywhere else. And they're basically a flat dumpling that's done in a yabba pot, which is traditionally African. And they are delicious, especially the ones with pork. They put pork fat in them. Recommend that.
Sounds delicious. Thanks for your time. And good luck with Barbuda getting back on its feet. And I hope people can get there and experience Barbudan island life, which is really, really unique. And I think well worth spending at least a week soaking it up. One thing you notice when you go to Barbuda is that everyone seems to have a lot of little projects going on. Asha has her podcast and her guest house, among other things. And another guy I met, Matthew John, is the island's custom officer, a DJ, and the proprietor of a bar and grill out on Twofoot Bay called Hillside View. MJ, as his friends call him, was telling me about his bar in another bar, ironically enough, the Extra Man Bar, just opposite the airport. The place was being shaken to its foundations by reggae, so I really couldn't interview him then. But I made sure to give him a call when I got back so he could tell me about this great little place that he set up. And here's what he had to say. Nestled in the heart of Twofoot Bay National Park, backed by limestone cliffs and looking out across the wild Atlantic Ocean, Hillside View Bar and Grill enjoys one of the best locations in the world. There is nothing for miles but jagged cliffs of a deep blue sea and the occasional wild donkey. The bar is set in a rustic shack and looks like it's been part of the scenery forever, but in reality, it only opened on March 2020 at the start of the COVID pandemic. I thought I'd have a chat with the bar's owner, Matthew John, MJ, to find out how things are going. Hey, MJ, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Peter? I'm fine. I'm doing great.
Now, around the world, COVID was closing down businesses, but you actually opened Hillside View just as it was all kicking off. Was that the plan or just an unfortunate coincidence?
It was a bit of both. I always had a plan to open up a bar in that area. Then came COVID and I got the time off from, you know, my actual work. And yeah, the bar is actually a reality now.
Like a lot of people on Barbuda, you've got a lot of hustles going. And one of them is you're the customs officer, aren't you?
Yeah. The guy, yeah.
Cool. Now, the bar is set on 2 Foot Bay and it's right near the famous caves. What made you open a bar and grill out there? Because it's pretty remote.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like an oasis in the desert. I saw the need for it. There's a lot of activity that takes place up the daily where there's a lot of day tours that feature the caves as a part of the package. There's nowhere up there for somebody to have a cold drink or, you know what I mean? Just to sit in some shaded area. 5 years I've been playing with this idea, and I said, you know, boom, let's go.
And of course, it's a popular spot at weekends as well for locals, isn't it? A lot of people do go out there and barbecue and just sort of camp and hang out.
Oh, yes. People come out, play a game of dominoes, and, you know, we have a cold drink and get something from the grill, you know. It's very nice.
When I was in Barbuda, I actually caught up with you. I think it was at the Extra Man Bar, and we were having a bit of a chat.
Yeah, Extra Man.
And you were telling me one of the great things, one of the things you liked about it up there was that there's no cell phone coverage. So people can't sit there on their phones. They have to sort of soak up the view. They have to chat to each other.
I've been to places and I just observe a lot that whenever folks are out, I mean, they have their cell phone in front of them instead of, you know, converse with each other. They're in their phones. And I was like, no, Hillside is the place for that. There's no signal. I hope it remains that way. You know, so we get to speak to each other again, you know?
And it's kind of nice to be cut off from the world at the moment, isn't it, with all the crap that's going on?
Oh, yes. Tell me about it, man. Yeah.
So how often is the bar open?
So we're mainly open on the weekends. However, during the week, we do have like day tours. We do day tours with the Barbuda Express ferry. So that would be like Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, we're open full swing.
So you offer tours in conjunction with Barbuda Express Ferry?
Correct.
What does the tour entail? What, you know, if people book the tour, what happened?
You would get a nice ride around the village to the fisheries dock, and then we take you down to the bird sanctuary. And then after the bird sanctuary, there's a short visit to the pink sand beach. We try not to keep people down there too long because, I mean, once they start to soak it up, they don't want to move, you know? And yeah. Then from there, we take you to the caves, and that's where, of course, Hillside View. You'd have lunch at Hillside View. And then after Hillside View, you go right back to the southern end of the island to Princess Diana Beach, where you just soak up some sun and sea, and then back to Antigua.
Basically, all the main sites that you need to see in Barbuda are covered off.
Yeah, give and take one and two, yeah, because we have the Derby Cave as well, the sinkhole, and we have some other caves. You'd need to stay in Barbuda overnight to, you know, actually get to those places.
And so how can people book that tour? Do they do that through Barbuda Express?
Yes, you do it through the Barbuda Express for now. Our website will be up and running shortly. However, you can find us on Instagram. Barbuda Hillside View.
Now, you mentioned lunch, of course, as part of the tour. And that's one of the other great things about Hillside View is the grill that sort of fires up. I've got a fair idea of what's going to be thrown on that grill. But for people who haven't been to Barbuda, what's the kind of thing they can expect to be grilling on the Hillside View grill?
Well, right off the bat, you know, you have to find lobster. I mean, you're in Barbuda, you have to get lobster, fresh lobster from the sea, and of course, fish. It's mostly seafood, and then you can get chicken. We try to keep it, the lobster as the main thing up there, you know?
I mean, that's what the island's famous for, so give people what they want.
You know, in Barbuda, we actually have lobster for breakfast, so, you know.
That still blows my mind. When I was there, people were talking to me about that, and I'm just going, lobster for breakfast? I can't even comprehend that. As well as being the island's customs officer, owner of Hillside View Bar and Grill, you're also a DJ. Now, what's the music scene like on Barbuda?
We mainly focus on more like reggae, kind of soca, you know, Caribbean sounds.
What, you do sort of like fets and that sort of thing?
Mostly in bars and then the odd fet, but you know, COVID kind of closed down everything. And then like on the Whit weekend, we have the Caribana. That's the carnival kind of festivities in Barbuda.
What time of year is that? Is that about the same time as the Antigua one or is it a different time of the year?
No, it's the Whit weekend.
Okay, cool. So it's a big carnival there. I'm guessing there's lots of music. Do they have like the carnival outfits and all that sort of stuff as well?
Yes, similar, but on a smaller scale, you know.
So you're saying that mainly there's music in bars. So we know there's the Extra Man. What are some of the other bars around Codrington, I'm guessing, mainly?
I mean, you have Extra Man, then you have Connie's, and you have The Buzz, which is a popular one as well, and Chill Spot. Chill Spot is a nice one as well. Also, you can't forget Green Door, the Green Door Tavern. That place has been around since like 1957.
Wow.
And it's still operating.
And is that in Codrington?
Yes, right in the heart, very heart of Codrington.
Having been to Codrington, it's such a tiny place, and you're just rolling off all these names of bars, and I'm just thinking there must be more bars than people almost, so that's fantastic.
That's enough for everybody to have fun, you know?
So finally, I know you got a lot on your plate. So finally, I just want to ask you, what's something a little off the tourist itinerary, a little bit off the beaten track that people should do to get a real taste of life in Barbuda?
I would say maybe go camping. Barbudans are known for going to camp. I go to a place they call Castle Hill. That's on the northeastern side of the island. And up there, again, there's no phone signal. And you get to just relax to the sound of the waves crashing into the, you know what I mean? It's just peaceful. You just take a walk for miles and you're just alone and just, it's like so soothing, you know? I think that's something that people should try to do whenever they come to Barbuda. Not only just for one day where you get the quick day tour. I mean, you need to stay for like 2-3 days and enjoy the wild outdoors of Barbuda.
Now, while MJ's bar is all very Robinson Crusoe, it is possible to indulge yourself in Barbuda. You could have lunch at Nobu, for example, if you can get a reservation. Or you could stay at Barbuda Bell, regarded as one of the world's best small luxury hotels. I chatted to manager Claudette Thomas to find out more. It's pretty remote out at the Barbuda Bell, and the cell phone coverage isn't that great, so please forgive the quality. Barbuda Bell is regarded as one of the best small luxury hotels in the world, with just 8 cabana-style bungalows overlooking a deserted Caribbean beach. It's the ultimate in barefoot luxury. Today I'm chatting with manager Claudette Thomas to find out what it is that makes Barbuda Bell so special. Hi Claudette, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Now, people talk about getting away from it all, but at Barbuda Bell, that really is getting away from it all, isn't it? Can you tell us a bit about the location?
Just that we are a deserted. Let's say we are on a deserted island. We are all by ourselves. In order to get into Barbuda, you must come through via boat. Because of that, we are never bombarded at all with anyone but those staying at the hotel.
Having been out to Barbuda and seen where you are, basically you've got to take a boat across from the dock, don't you, past the Frigabird Sanctuary and out to that beach there. And all you're doing is looking straight out across the beautiful blue ocean.
Definitely.
The beaches are incredible there, aren't they? I don't think people realise how long and how empty they are. It's quite unlike anywhere else in the Caribbean.
That is a fact, and because where we our location is like a 17-mile long of pink sandy beach.
Wow, that's amazing. Basically, 8 bungalows, so you're never going to be crowded out. You're definitely going to get part of the beach all to yourself.
Definitely. Most definitely. That's the idea.
What are the rooms like? I mean, the views are great, just the sand and the blue sea and obviously the sun setting right in front of you. But how would you describe the rooms?
They're very simple, they're basic. But what most guests like about it, though, is the air-conditioned bed that we carry.
An air-conditioned bed? What do you mean by that?
Instead of having an AC unit and the roof on the wall, everything is connected in the bed.
Wow.
So we use a remote to get it going.
Fantastic. I can see the appeal of that. Obviously, food is an important part. What kind of dining experience can guests expect at Barbuda Bell?
Well, presently, we do have a native chef. Our chef is actually a Barbudan by birth.
A Barbudan guy is going to be good because he knows exactly how to cook up all that fantastic seafood that you guys have.
Exactly. And everyone now who's coming here, actually, we've got a very full house. And everyone just doesn't want a menu anymore. They need the local food. But we still offer our French cuisine.
Obviously, lobster, seafood, and all these things are big things. He's pretty good at serving up a lobster, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Do you find that's what the guests expect when they come to Barbuda?
This is exactly what they look for. The seafood. Barbuda is known for its conch, its lobster, its fish, its crab. And it is all on our menu, though.
And, of course, as fresh as can be.
Oh, yes, of course. It's every day a new catch.
Now, I saw on your website that you've got these fantastic new cabanas that you've built on the beach. They look like a fantastic place to have one of these delicious seafood meals and just watching the sunset.
Exactly so. Guests sail over from Antigua and they want to have lunch with us. And most often they want to be on the beach. So that's one of the main reasons why the cabanas are there. Even our in-house guests, they dine in there quite often.
Now, what about your neighbours, the frigate birds? I believe a tour of the sanctuary is included in the price of a room there.
Yes, sir.
How is it having such neighbours on your doorstep?
It's not that they're too close to us. It's a good 15 minutes away from us. So we'd have to go through the mangroves to get to the frigate birds. Oftentimes, you'd see them feeding just on the front of the hotel, you know, on the sea. They'd feed right there and then they go again. It's not the norm that you'd have them around you all the time.
But it's definitely worth going and checking out, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is, especially at this time.
The mating season.
And there are lots of young, fluffy white chickens.
So finally, what do you think makes Barbuda so special?
Barbuda is very unique. It is different. It is very, very small. It's cozy. And this is what most people are looking for at this time. Just a relaxing atmosphere here on Barbuda.
And if you want to relax in absolute style, you've got to go to Barbuda Bell.
You'd have to go to Barbuda Bell.
Well, sadly, that's the end of our time in Barbuda. I hope I've been able to give you an idea of what a special place it is and why you really need to go there. Now, how do you get to Barbuda? Well, SVG offer 2 flights a day. It's a really tiny plane. You could tap the pilot on the shoulder if you wanted to, so make sure you book well in advance. There are 3 passenger boats that service the island. The most popular is Barbuda Express. There's also the Island Escape Ferry and the Typhoon Express. They all operate on different days and different schedules. I'll put links to their websites in the episode notes. And again, make sure you book well in advance. Of course, you could be really extravagant and go by helicopter. You'll need to speak to the guys at Calvin Air. Again, I'll put a link to their website in the episode notes. Thanks, of course, to all my guests. Pat Richardson, boatman and tour guide extraordinaire. There's nothing he doesn't know about frigate birds. Jackie Beezer from Wa'amoni Restaurant. My only regret is that I wasn't there on a Tuesday so I could try the oxtail. Asha Frank, make sure you check out her book, Dreamland Barbuda, and her podcast, and her guest house. MJ from Hillview Bar and Grill, such a great little place. And Claudette from Barbuda Bell. In our next episode, we're celebrating Sailing Week, the biggest social and sporting event on Antigua's calendar. Until then.
The Beach is Just the Beginning is produced and presented by Peter Moore for the Antiguan Barbuda Tourism Authority. For more information and inspiration about visiting Antigua and Barbuda, drop by visitantiguabarbuda.com.